This is your WOOC Roman Labor Correspondent for the Hustle Mohawk Magazine, Willie Terry, and I'm here at the Underground Railroad Conference, which is taking place at Siena College. This is the opening night, which is Friday, the 29th. There will be some speakers.
Daryl Freeman. Both are very long-standing friends of Underground Railroad History Project, and we're very thankful that they would share their thoughts in response to Vera's comments this evening. Alan is a professor at Hofstra University, and Daryl is a professor at California State University, Sacramento. Did I get that right? So we are very honored that they would take time out of their busy schedules to be with us. Both of them are authors as well as longstanding civil rights advocates, and there are further information, biographical information for both of them as well as for Vera in the conference journal.
Okay. I want to start by thanking Vera and Daryl for the connections that they drew between the Underground Railroad and events today that are facing the undocumented immigrants. And I want to focus especially on that connection. Freedom seekers on the Underground Railroad were defined as both property and as thieves. Now, how can you be both property and thief? Well, you're a thief because you stole yourself and you were property. By defining them as property, they were able to deny them due process. So if people were caught, they didn't get to have a lawyer, and they didn't have a defense on trial. Commissioners, not judges, would just hand them over to slaveholders based on the testimony of the slaveholder. They were not even allowed to defend themselves unless they could produce documentation immediately that they were free. They were kidnapped and taken to slavery. Now, you see a very similar thing with the refugees today. They're being defined as illegal aliens, kind of something, there's a movie series, I think, The Aliens. And they're being defined as illegal aliens and as a threat somehow. Those little children and the mothers are a threat somehow to the United States, and therefore they're denied due process. One of the reasons that they're kept on the Mexico side of the border is because under the 14th Amendment, once they cross onto this side of the border, they are entitled to due process. And what we're seeing in both cases is the effort to deny people their legal rights. And I think that's an important parallel. One of the things that people did on the Underground Railroad is it was not just a sanctuary movement, it was also a vigilance committee. So what happens is, yes, people were welcomed, but when authorities and when slave catchers came to communities, communities rose up to prevent the kidnappings. And one of the most dramatic is Troy, where in Troy, Charles Snail is being kidnapped, and he's locked up, waiting to be transported down south, where hundreds of local people are lined up outside the police station where he's being held, and they will not let him be taken away. So they didn't just offer him sanctuary, they freed him. And Harriet Tubman she's a little old lady. She wasn't even that old, that's one of the things, but they thought she was a little lady. And she kind of sneaks up the stairs and no one is looking, and she grabs him and she will not let go. And they drag him out and they will not let him be arrested. And I think that's a very important lesson for us today. It's one thing to offer people sanctuary, but it's another thing we need to do is to defend people when the kidnappers come for them. The 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution is on our side. The 14th Amendment defines citizenship, and it also defines due process. But due process is not just offered to citizens. Due process in the 14th Amendment is offered to persons. And it was done very on purpose. They didn't like, oh my gosh, we used the wrong word. They gave due process to persons because in the South, under slavery days, and when they tried to kidnap people who were freedom seekers, They were denying that they were citizens. Remember, Justice Taney said, well, blacks aren't citizens. Therefore, they're not entitled to constitutional rights. That's the Dred Scott decision. So when they wrote the 14th Amendment, they said, well, you could call whoever you want a citizen, but every person is guaranteed due process. And that was done to prevent authorities and to prevent racists from victimizing people. We have to insist on that today. That's part of the legacy of the Underground Railroad, and that is our legal right to defend undocumented immigrants. Brian Stevenson, with Oprah Winfrey and others, has just created this new monument in Montgomery, Alabama, and it's quite wonderful. I was there last week. And it's the National Memorial for Peace and Justice. And what they did is they looked at counties where there were lynchings between 1877, the end of Reconstruction, and 1950. There were 4,000 lynchings in the United States. Every county is represented by a giant hanging metal pillar with the name of the county and the name of the people who were victimized for standing up for who they were and their humanity. It's a very powerful symbol. But again, one of the things that they did with their exhibit in the memorial and the museum is they make the point that Jim Crow was reinforced through terrorism. This is terrorism. Slavery was terrorism. And freedom seekers and civil rights workers, black and white civil rights workers, black and white abolitionists were challenging terrorism. I think we have to challenge terrorism today. And I think in this case, it's the government that is conducting the terrorism against undocumented immigrants. Now, the abolitionists did not seek coalition with the slaveholders. We are not going to convince everybody that all people are human and all people deserve dignity. And we're not convincing Donald Trump, and we're not convincing Donald Trump's supporters. But one thing that I learned from studying the abolitionist movement, in 1831, the abolitionist movement was on the margins. People thought William Lloyd Garrison was a nut. They tried to lynch him. They tarred and feathered him, but no one took him seriously. By 1861, Union troops were marching into battle singing the John Brown song, because from 1831 to 1861, abolition moved from the margins to the center. Now, we may feel that our defense of undocumented immigrants today, that we're on the margins, but things change as people struggle and as conditions change, so we can't give up hope. In some ways, this is a little bit weird, I can hardly wait for Trump to build his wall. We have to remember the fate of three infamous historical walls. The Great Wall of China could not keep out Mongol invaders. The Maginot Line in France did not stop German tanks. And the Berlin Wall, remember the Berlin Wall? The people tore it down. Thank you.
Ship, men were standing over me.